Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 228. 228.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument,
seated. We'll sing hymn number 112.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that He might save Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Acts chapter 6. Start at verse 7 and go to the end of the chapter. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and the elders and scribes came upon him, and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face that had been the face of an angel. Our Lord, our Master, our blessed Redeemer, we sang about our precious Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain he went, paying our sin debt, paying our obligations, being our surety, taking our responsibilities, paying everything that we owed, met every condition so we have no conditions to meet. Lord, we bless you and praise you that you did that for us. You did that for your people. You did that for an elect people, a chosen people, a people that you've always loved. And, oh, Lord, we praise you and thank you for it. And we've gathered out this evening to open your word and look at it, and by your blessed grace and mercy, make some comments on it. We pray that it'll honor you. Be honest with the scriptures. And Lord, we thank you for those that's come out, and pray your blessings upon them, your mercies upon them, And Lord, for those who are not here but would be here if they were able, we pray for them. And our blessed Savior, please remember Fran and Bill and Rick and Helen. Oh, Lord, please remember them. Their bodies are weak and they're in a great fight of afflictions. And, oh, Lord, that bodies are so weak. And, Lord, we pray for our loved ones. Oh, Lord Jesus, You're the only one who can do something for them. And our Master, we have folks that's going to be traveling this weekend. And Lord, they're going to be leaving. And we ask You to go before them and stay behind them. Do what You did for Job. Shield them. Put a hedge around them. See them safely there. See them safely back. Give them traveling mercies. Let goodness and mercy follow them where they go. Please protect them and keep them. And Lord, we bless You and help pray for Your mercies tonight. In Christ's name, amen.
Page 29 in our course books.
I'll cherish the cross.
Remember last week, there was a little dissension between the Jews and the Greeks because the widows of the Greeks, the Grecians, weren't being taken care of, wasn't being ministered to, wasn't being taken care of. And the 12 called everybody together and said, listen, we're not going to leave God's word. We're just not going to do that. Not to take care of widows. We're not going to do that. Not to serve the tables. So he left it up to the people. He said, you go out and you choose your seven men. And you remember the qualifications that they had to have there in verse 3? Had to have an honest report. An honest report. Secondly, they had to be full of the Holy Ghost. The power of God on them. And wisdom. Have the wisdom of God. The wisdom that comes from the Scriptures. The wisdom that comes from Christ. The wisdom that unlocks the Scriptures. The wisdom to know how to use knowledge right. And we'll appoint them over this business. And I tell you, you know where the social gospel started at? Well, it didn't start here because it said in verse 4, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And that's how things start, because they wanted to go and help the poor. So people started making a work out of that. Next thing you know, you got a social gospel. All you got to do is tell folks if they'll help the poor and help missionaries and take care of everything else but the gospel. Take care of everybody but the gospel. Be true to everybody but the gospel. And Lord will save you. Lord will save you. Well, they set these seven men apart and they called them and set them apart. And let me, it says there in the saying, please the Lord. And then in verse 7, the saying, please the whole multitude. And they sat before the apostles and they prayed and they laid hands on them. Now I want you to see another place where they laid hands on some people over here in Acts 13. Look at Acts 13 and I'll get into my message for this evening. Get into the study for this evening. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto have called them." And listen to this, "And when they had fasted and prayed, laid hands on them and sent them away." Said, "We're going to approve of you. We approve of what you're doing. We want to be part of this." So they laid hands on them. Now back over in Acts 6. "And the word of God increased greatly, multiplied greatly. And it says there that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now they were obedient to the faith. Now what is the faith that they were obedient to? The same faith, when they ask somebody, ask you, "What's your faith?" People ask me all the time, "Are you all a Baptist church? Are you a Baptist church?" And I say, "Well, we believe in the grace of God, but yes, only in the sense that baptism is only for believers." That's how people make professions. I always tell them that's how people, not coming to the front, not coming to an altar. But we believe that a person makes their confession of faith by baptism, confessing their identity with Christ by baptism. Well, so when they ask you the faith, they're talking about the faith. He's talking about the gospel that was preached, the faith that God set before them. And it says that they came to the faith, obedient to the faith. And there's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body, always one. And the word of God is what the Holy Ghost blesses us to uses to save and bring to the faith. Now look what happens down here in verse 8. And now we have a testimony here, the first testimony, and we'll get next week to the first martyr under the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. "And Stephen," verse 8, "full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Oh, he was a man greatly used of God. I mean, he was full of faith. I mean, he was mighty in faith. He had faith in Christ, faith in God's promises, faith in the covenant, faith in the blood of Christ, faith in the death of Christ, faith in and everything that God set before him. He believed and was mighty in faith. Strong in faith. It's like that Ethiopian, that centurion said, "The Lord said, I've not seen so great faith in Israel." And he said, "Lord, don't even come under my house. All you got to do is send your word and he'll be healed." He said, "I've never seen such faith in all of Israel." And it wasn't a Jew, it was a Gentile that believed. And oh, he was full of faith and he did great wonders. And you know, when it talks about doing great wonders, that means that God created him in Christ unto good works. And here was a man that he did such acts that people stood and wondered at him. Wondered at the things he said. Wondered at the message he preached. Wondered at the acts that he did. And there's no telling how many people were healed, how many people were blessed, how many people were added to the church. God only knows that. But it said he was full of faith and power. Now faith and power go together. Where you find faith, you find power. We just sang it. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. You know, my faith has found a resting place. Not in device or creed, but in the ever-loving one and ever-living one who died for me. And so listen, faith and power go together. You know, if you didn't have faith, you wouldn't have any power. And if God didn't give you power, you wouldn't have any faith. They go together. And these gifts, these are gifts that God gives. And they're not natural to people. They're not natural to people. They wasn't natural to Stephen. They wasn't natural to Stephen. And so here he comes along and he's a deacon now. He's supposed to be out here to help take care of widows and orphans. But God so blessed him. And then look what happens. He begins to start suffering. Verse 9, then there arose a certain of the synagogue. Now, synagogue would be what we'd call a church, except it's a Jewish synagogue. Jewish synagogue. And they're all over the place in the United States, and they have a synagogue, which is called the synagogue. And here's the kind of people that went to this place. Libertines. Libertines. That means folks that just did not care how they lived is about what it amounts to. And then there were some Cyrenians there, and then some Alexandrians there, that was from Egypt, and of Cilicia, that's in Italy, and of Asia. And look what, there's five different groups of people going to this synagogue, and all five different types of people that got there, they started arguing with Stephen. Stephen was no doubt preaching in this synagogue, went to this synagogue, and they heard him preach, and they all said, listen, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like it at all. And so they started arguing with him, disputing with him. They wanted to find out, what in the world do you think? Who do you think you are? What you're saying is so, then there's no hope for us. If you're talking about a Jesus Christ that was living and died and rose again, that leaves us without any hope. We're trusting in the law. We're trusting in Moses. We're trusting in everything but Christ. And they started disputing with him, arguing with him. But oh my, he just kept arguing and arguing and arguing with him. You know, there's something that men cannot refuse unless they just say, I'm just not going to believe it. And you'll find out in Acts chapter 7, you're talking about a man that knew the scriptures. Stephen was a man who knew the Bible. They say people that know the Bible, this man knew the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Christ coming and every scriptures that was interpreted along the way. But here he comes, and look what it says there in verse 10. They disputed with him, argued with him, and look what happens. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. The wisdom, unable to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. They said, oh my, we can't deal with this fellow. We can't answer this fellow. We can't dispute with this fellow. He's too blessed of God for us. He's got such wisdom. He's got spirit and he's got the power of God on him. And how in the world and they couldn't resist it. We couldn't argue with it. They couldn't dispute it. They couldn't resist it. They couldn't resist it. And oh my. I've met a few men over the years, and they always want to try to straighten somebody out. And they use this opinions and ideas. And they don't use scripture. But here was a man that was using the word of God, using the gospel, using the truth. And they weren't able to resist the wisdom and power of God. Well, then you know what they did? Look what happens next in verse 12. And they stirred up the people. Well, said in verse 11, then they suborned men. That means they paid men. Said, I want you fellas to lie. I want you fellas to do what we tell you to say, what we tell you to say. They suborned some men. We said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Oh my. They raised up false witnesses against him. And they accused him of speaking blasphemous words. They couldn't argue with him. They couldn't dispute with him. They couldn't resist the wisdom that God gave him. And our Lord said, I'll give you the spirit of wisdom, and you speak, don't say a word until I put words in your mouth. And this is what's happening here. And they said, you're speaking blasphemous words against Moses. And listen to this. And God. They charged him of speaking against God Almighty. And against Moses. Well, what if he said something about Moses? What's wrong with saying something about Moses? Moses represents the law. God used Moses, but Moses didn't die for me. Moses is not my Savior. The law didn't have nothing to do with me. Christ fulfilled it. And look what happens now. And they stirred up the people and the elders. They went out and stirred people up, said, those talking about Stephen. Oh, this fellow's a blasphemous man. This fellow, he don't know what in the world. He's speaking against Moses. He's speaking against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And listen to this. They got them all stirred up and come upon him and caught him. They had to catch him. They walked up to him and they snuck up on him and caught him like they're catching a criminal. Like they're catching somebody that's done something really bad. We got to go catch this fellow. We caught him. We got him. We got this criminal. We got this low life, this fellow speaking blasphemy against God and Moses. And caught him, and listen to this, and brought him to the council. You know what the council is? That's that 70 people of the Sanhedrin. Great big council. All these big shots, the scribes and Pharisees and the priest and all the elders and all them. And look what happens now. Oh my. And they set up false witnesses. They set up false witnesses, which said, this man seeketh not, ceases not to speak blasphemy and words against this holy place and the law. Huh? You know, look what they said about our master. Look over, keep this, and look with me in Matthew 26. Look in Matthew 26. Look what they said about our master over here. And look at verse 59. They said they spoke against Moses, spoke against this temple, this holy place. And now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus. That's what these fellows done over here. Hired people, sought false witnesses. Sought false witnesses. Huh? And look what they went on to say. Against Jesus to put him to death. But look what happens now. But they didn't find any. They did not find a one. Yea, though many false witnesses came, and yet they found none. At the last, came two false witnesses. Two. They tried their best to get people to tell lies on Christ. And they came to the last two witnesses and they said this. This fellow said, not Christ, not the Lord, not the Savior. This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is that which against thee? Witness against thee. But our Lord held his peace, and the high priest answered and said, I adjure thee by the living God. Command you by the living God, thou tell us where thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Listen to what he said now. Jesus saith unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. We don't need any more witnesses. We heard him ourselves. Heard him ourselves. So they sought false witnesses, and they're doing the same thing over here to one of his elect, one of his blessed children. And he's in, look what they said there again in verse 13 over here in Acts 6. And set up false witnesses, set them up, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words. What? Against what? Against this holy place, against the temple. Against the temple where they was at. They met in the temple, and they was in the temple. Solomon's temple. Herod's temple. I don't know, but anyway, this man seeketh to speak against this holy place, and listen to this, and against the law. Against the law. Oh my. Now look what else they said. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth, Oh, listen, they got to go to this imposter that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. You know, when our Lord, when he is talking about the temple, he's talking about the temple of his body. You remember that? He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up. They thought he was talking about that building. He's talking about his own body. He's talking about destroy this temple, not that building. Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again at the last day. I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And so they used that against him. Used what he's talking about, the temple of his body. Go ahead and destroy it. Nail it to a cross. Beat it to a bloody pulp. Put a crown of thorns on me. Stick a spear in my side. Just go ahead and destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'm going to raise it right back up. He's talking about his own body. And that's what these fellows are using against him. The same thing they used against Christ. And they said that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, destroy this holy place. This was holy ground to them. And the only holy ground that you can ever find in the scriptures, you know where it was? When Moses stood before the burning bush and God said, take off your shoes, this is holy ground on which you stand. And that's the only place you'll find holy ground mentioned in the scriptures. The only place where holy ground is. You know, you hear people talk about, well, I'm going to go to the Holy Land. There's no such thing. Tell me where a spot of ground on the face of this earth is holy ground. Even where Christ was crucified, if they could find it, they would bring a shrine to it, and they'd say, this is holy ground. Why do people want to always have something and set it apart as holy? It's because that makes them, if they go there, that makes them better Christians and make them more dedicated and more devoted and shows that we really into this business of religion. I'm going to the Holy Land. And not only that, I'm going to get baptized in Jordan. Oh, I tell you what, we've heard him say. Now, where'd they hear him say this at? Now, he had been preaching for a while before they all got stirred up that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. And not only going to destroy it, but he's going to change the rituals that Moses gave to us. He's going to change dietary laws. He's going to change the law. He's going to change Moses. He's going to change what Moses stood for, what Moses accomplished, what Moses did, and what Moses didn't do. And our Lord said, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me, for Moses wrote about me. Now, look what happens now. He was sitting in the Sanhedrin now. He had 70 people surrounding him or more. I mean, oh, it was a whole bunch. And they was charging him with all kinds of things. Oh, my. And they looked steadfastly at him. And they charged him with blasphemy against God, against Moses, against God's word, against the temple, against the customs. And that's one thing you don't do. You don't mess with a fellow's custom. And all that sat in the council, all them people, they're watching him, had their eye fixed on him. What's he going to say? How's he going to defend himself? How's he going to defend himself? And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly at him. What in the world do you think they's going to see? Looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Oh my, they thought they'd see a feller scared, big-eyed, shaking, trembling, worried. What did they see? Face of an angel, shining, calm, serene, peaceful. Shining. Oh, they'd never seen anything like this before. You're talking about a new witness to the council. Here is a, you know, they beat those other fellows and they went off rejoicing. But here's a man who changed into the face of an angel right in the presence of them. You're talking about a new kind of a witness before this council. They'd never seen anything like it. And our Lord Jesus Christ glorified himself in this man. He manifested himself in this man. He manifested himself in his glory in this man right here this day. Now you remember we started out with all the difficulties and dissension because of the widows and that being taken care of. And I tell you, difficulties and dissensions, they're going to come. They're going to come. Because we have different natures. And human nature isn't perfect. Man at his best states altogether vanity. And that's why we must stay under the sound of the gospel. Then look what else he went on to say then. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Have you said blasphemous words against God? Against Moses? Have you spoken against this holy place? Have you said that you're going to destroy it? Oh, Lincoln, you'd think that this fellow would have... Well, I don't know what in the world I'm going to say, folks. I don't know how I'm going to defend myself. But here's the first thing he said, and we'll get into this next week. He said, men and brethren and fathers, he was so gracious, so kind, so respectful. They didn't respect him, didn't show any respect to him, lied on him, accused him of all kinds of things, and then men and brothers and fathers. Listen, listen. And here's the first thing he mentioned. The God of glory. The God you said that I'm speaking words again. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And I tell you something. The God of glory not only appeared to Abraham, but he's appeared to every single soul since that day. And he said he appeared unto Abraham, our father, when he was in Mesopotamia. God ain't interested in geographical locations. He was a heathen idolater in a heathen country. And God appeared unto him and said, get out of here. Get out of here. So he started off automatically talking about God and the God of glory. But oh my. So they had these dissensions over the widows. Figured out how to deal with it. Seven men. And how do we overcome difficulties, dissensions? And they're going to come. They're going to come. We all have different natures and different ways of looking at things. But how do we overcome it? How do we overcome these dissensions like these fellas had? So Satan couldn't divide us. Well, by trust, by faith. The apostles called them. He trusted the people. He called them together. And he called them all together and trusted them to choose the seven men. And how else do we overcome? By love. By love. Set aside all differences. Seek the good for everybody. Everybody like these fellows did. There was a need. They loved the people and they wanted to see that need met. And different men with different gifts were used. And they bore one another's burdens. And they fulfilled the law of Christ, which is love. And you know, it's so easy, to find something wrong with anything. But oh my, that's why we need the gospel. Lord, I don't want to find... I certainly wouldn't want to find anything wrong with a brother or sister, would you? Huh? You know, I'm going to tell you something about trust one time. Tell you about something trust one time. We was talking about raising some money to buy some ground and build a new building. And this has been over 30 years ago. We've been in here 30 years. This has been over 30 years ago. And fella come to me and talked to me, and he said, He said, I feel uneasy about that. I feel so uneasy about that. And I don't know if I want to support anything like that or not. He's honest enough to come to me and talk to him himself. He said, I don't know if we ought to do that or not. That's a lot of money. And I said to him, do you trust me when I'm up preaching to you? Do you trust me with your soul? Do you trust me with what I'm telling you is the truth and is the gospel? He said, well, of course I do. I said, if you trust me with your soul and you trust me to tell you the truth and trust me for you to face God with what I'm preaching, why in the world wouldn't you trust me to make decisions concerning what we're going to do with this congregation? Here's the first one. Said, boy, we better get started. But that's all. If you trust a man enough to preach the gospel to him, believe him, you ought to trust him with